This is the Poetry Magazine podcast for the week of April 3rd, 2017. I'm Dawn Scher, editor of Poetry Magazine.
And I'm Lindsay Garbett, assistant editor for the magazine. On the Poetry Magazine podcast, we listen to a poem in the current issue.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
If you've ever lived near a mosque, you have no doubt heard the azan, the call to prayer. One of the verses for the morning azan, the Fajr, is prayer better than sleep. This is that verse.
Prayer is Better Than Sleep is the title of a prose poem in the April issue by Momina Mela. Mela was born and raised in Lahore, Pakistan, and she's an MFA candidate at NYU.
Her poem has an epigraph from the Quran.
And as to the poets, it is those straying in evil that follow them. Do you not see that they wander about bewildered in every valley, and that they say what they practice not?
There's an entire surah or passage in the Quran about poets, and as in Plato, poets don't come off so well there.
The people who ridiculed Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, were considered poets at that time, which is why poet has such a negative idea attached to it. It has the stigma attached to it.
Mela told us that her poem is in part a reinterpretation of that chapter of the Quran from the point of view of a poet.
Before we hear it, it might help to know some of the vocabulary she uses. Isa is the Islamic name for Jesus. Mecca is the Pakistani way of pronouncing Mecca. Israfil is the angel of death who will blow the trumpet when the world is ending. And Mustaqbil means the future. Here's the poem.
Prayer is better than sleep. The man I confused Allah for speaks into the microphone while the angels on my shoulders chew a mouthful of my hair. I wake up to a severed goat head and look at it hard enough to remember the animal in its entirety, a functional thing. The Saudis have built skyscrapers taller than the mountains in Mecca. This is a sign of the apocalypse. We worry with our backs to each other and look for Isa in the faces of men who appear to spin gold straight from the guttural source. I repeat the word mustaqbil like a new prayer. When the dog barks at a brick wall, mustaqbil. When anemones collapse back into gothic buds, mustaqbil. When I wet my arms to my elbows in the sink, mustaqbil. All while Israfil kicks his feet against a stone wall and cleans his trumpet with each utterance. In the village, three men dragged a boy into our orchards and beat him to a pulp. The woman who eloped was strangled and thrown into the river. Pickpockets robbed the mourners at my uncle's funeral. Mustaqbil, mustaqbil, mustaq. My throat is infected by the thick-tongued promise, each night diluted into its prior belly. I use language to build the gardens I'm destined to be expelled from. Each imagined rose rendered true.
It's an amazing ending to that poem. I use the language to build gardens I'm destined to be expelled from. Each imagined rose rendered true. It reminds me of that striking image at the beginning of the poem of the severed head, where she says, look at it hard enough to remember the animal in its entirety, a functional thing. To think back to the epigraph that she mentions where it says that poets say what they practice not, here it really feels like she is practicing what she's saying here. She's really trying to build a new future and imagining it very fully in order to fully not just see the violence that's happening in everyday life, but to try and imagine a larger whole.
Yes, there are ideas of sacrifice in the poem, which is, you know, relating in a certain way to the severed goat head and remembering the animal as an entire functional thing. So that the poem is kind of a commentary on the surah. You know, do you not see the poets that they wander around bewildered in every valley? So that that's kind of a sacrifice that the poets make. And then when they wander around in the valley and they can be kind of expelled from the garden through their language, they're kind of expelled into a different world. And that's where they write and struggle and try to imagine redemption and help lead us away, perhaps from apocalypse, if possible. I mean, what's lovely about the poem as a kind of commentary is that it embraces the kind of circuitous route that one has to take in the world or in and through language. How to remember, taken literally, means kind of like how do we get put back together again? Mm-hmm. How can the world be put back together again? It looks towards the future, the word that's repeated so often.
Mustaqbil, mustaqbil, mustaq.
But there's no straight way to get there. And it's a very complex vision for how we spin prayer out of sacrifice and expulsion. How do we find direction? And yet how do we manage to live in the world that we are born into and with the language that we are given?
Right. It really redeems the idea of bewilderment, I think. Here in the passage, bewilderment is supposed to be a negative thing, but in the face of all these things that are happening in the world, how could you not be bewildered? And how do you express that bewilderment? And I went back to the title too, the prayer is better than sleep, the idea that instead of being asleep to what's happening in the world, you're woken up to it. Mm-hmm. And in response, you utter a prayer, sort of linguistic response, and it's better than turning your eye away from it.
You can read Prayer is Better Than Sleep by Momina Mela in the April 2017 issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org.
You've been listening to the weekly version of the Poetry Magazine podcast. Let us know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org.
The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman and produced by Curtis Fox.
The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Lindsay Garbett.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.